This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and welcome to the Sky Blues Extra podcast, which is kindly sponsored by the Sky Blue Tavern. I'm David and I'm really pleased to be joined this evening by Mr. Ross Cooper.
Good evening, David. How are you?
Very well. Obviously, all the better for a win, which I know we spoke about briefly just before we came on air this evening. But isn't it amazing, really?
Oh, it's great. It's great. And it's great to be doing a sort of a two-hander podcast with you. It's been a while since we were on one together, I think. So, looking forward to it. And yeah, it'll be nice to be able to discuss a win and building on these sort of positive performances that we had before the international break. So, you feel so much better, don't you, after 3 points and a clean sheet and everything, you know, the sort of fog has lifted even further and you can sort of see some, you know, nice sort of light at the end of the tunnel, which, you know, doesn't look like it's too far away now. So, feeling good.
Absolutely. And hopefully not too many moans and groans from those at home that are just stuck with just us two tonight, Ross. And hopefully I enjoy. We've got a bit of a, you know, episode to get through covering, obviously, the win this Saturday against Middlesbrough. We're also going to talk about previews for Bristol City on Tuesday evening. And then we return to the CBS on Saturday against Burnley. Also away from the pitch, though, Ross, is how I want to start with this evening. We had our first players Q&A evening, an incredible night, wasn't it, at the Sky Blue Tavern, joined by SBF TV, Wardy, yourself, Dean, of course, from Sky Blues Extra, and interviewed no other than Michael Rose and Matty Godden. A really wonderful event, Ross, and one that we, you know, many to come. So lots of opportunity for people to get down there. But just explain some of the evening and some of the highlights for our listeners at home.
Well, it was a great evening, as you say, and obviously us here at Sky Blues Extra sort of joined forces with Sky Blue Fans TV and obviously, you know, Dylan's, Dal, you know, our partnership with the Sky Blue Tavern, and it's the perfect venue to obviously host these events. And I know that Dal and Dylan's have obviously, you know, built up this relationship where they were hoping to obviously get players down on a regular basis. Obviously, I think COVID and things like that, obviously.
Exactly that. With that now lifted, it's really a good chance, isn't it, to use that unbelievable venue?
100%. And it was sold out. It was incredibly well attended. I think everybody who was there on the evening enjoyed it. You can obviously, it's a free event, which is huge, you know, for the fans to be able to just turn up and, you know, all that, you know, we want people to do is enjoy themselves and, you know, get drinks. There was competitions. There was a chance to win a signed shirt, win free pints, you know, try out the food if you haven't already. And that's what people were doing. And that's, you know, that's a great way to support the venue. And obviously in return for the venue sort of putting on these, you know, working with us to put on these sort of great events and the club to make, get players down there. And Michael Rose and Matty Godden were in great spirits. They really did sort of, they made me feel incredibly sort of positive going into the weekend. Sure. Because they, you know, they sort of, obviously, the big elephant in the room was obviously it's been an unprecedented start, and you know, we all know how we feel about it as fans, but it was interesting to sort of, you know, obviously go back through the League One season and their memories with the Sky Blues so far, because both of them have been with us for several seasons now. But Absolutely. Obviously address, you know, the frustrations, and obviously they had them as well, but it does feel like, and it did feel like when they spoke, that the mood in the camp was brilliant. Do you know what I mean? And they were all chomping at the bit now. And obviously that rubbed off, and that sort of made me feel pretty confident going into Middlesbrough. And obviously Michael Rose had told us there that he was going to be sort of back in the squad. And, you know, that it, obviously O'Hare back on the grass is sort of huge. And yeah, they were really good spirits. They answered everyone's questions. Obviously, first part of the evening was obviously it was a Wardy and Miles from Sky Blue Fantasy TV sort of going through, you know, their careers to date with us. And then the second part was the fans Q&A, and they answered all those questions brilliantly. You know, I don't think either of them were that keen on VAR. That was a really interesting question to sort of, you know, whether that would be introduced in the Championship. And yeah, it was a great evening, and there's going to be plenty more, as you say, David, and keep your eyes peeled is what I'd say, because now that's the first of many, and we're going to have different players down, and we're going to refine the evening more and more and more. And yeah, it's just going to be a great sort of regular thing that's going to take place. So yeah, if you didn't manage to get a ticket in time, keep your eyes peeled for the next one, get down there, have a beer, have a curry, and yeah, enjoy the two players who'll be appearing next.
Brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. And yeah, as I say, one way, you know, followers can obviously get notifications. You can add them on Twitter. So you can just put it at the top of your profile to say you want to receive notifications from Sky Blues Extra. And that will make sure that you're the first to know about any of the new and upcoming events that we have at the Tavern, with players involved. So absolutely do that. And moving on then, Ross, to Middlesbrough this Saturday. You said actually how you felt before the game. It was from the Q&A that you said it rubbed off. After a bit of a pretty uninspiring international break, you were feeling very positive to going into Middlesbrough.
Yeah, I was. I think the two results we had prior to the international break were huge. And obviously, you know, the international break came. I really can't stand the international breaks. You know, England were England, but I miss the club football. You know, and until it's the World Cup and the major tournaments, my sort of, I just don't care enough. You know, and you know, in the predicament we find ourselves in, you just want us to play games. But I think that clean sheet against Birmingham, it would be obviously great if we'd won that game. But I think the clean sheet. And then this evening, and you know, with Michael Rose and Matty Godden, and just hearing them talk, I just thought, you know what, we have got a good team, you know. And I think, you know, we all fell sort of into the trap. I certainly did. And Mark Robbins, you know, you go back and listen to his post match interview after the Hull game when Dom Hyam was just, you know, on the verge of being sold, and that was probably one of the lowest I've ever heard him sound, you know. And I think he encapsulated how we all felt, really sort of down in the dumps, and you sort of felt like, what's going to happen? But actually, obviously we'll talk about the game, but listening to him after the Middlesbrough game, it's chalk and cheese.
It's really interesting, because after the Middlesbrough game, the words that were coming, you know, from Robbins was, we weren't far away against Sunderland, we weren't far away against Millwall, we should have won that if it wasn't for silly goals. And these are the things that I've kind of took, you know, the only thing that worried me a little bit was that some of the fixtures wasn't working out that well, that some of the form wasn't working out that well. But when you go back to those games are played over 90 minutes, they're not played, you know, they're not the same, and games are very different from another. And I think that is a bit of a trap, isn't it, of the form table, because, you know, games are played on 90 minutes on the pitch, and lots of things can happen, as it did at Millwall, for example, where we were just, I think, unfortunate in the end to not be able to come away from that with a point, if not all three. And it's very easy to forget, isn't it? You look at the points and you look at how many games you've played, and actually, but when you take them in isolation, we weren't a million miles away in any of the games. And I think that we've said it before, we don't just become a bad team overnight. Yes, you can become a bad form team, but I think, you know, the football was still there in large parts. And again, you know, it was this weekend.
Yeah, 100% agree. And I just think the situation off the pitch sort of compounded those results, you know. Like you say, we could easily have been sat on, you know, after the sort of Hull game, we could easily be on 6 or 7 points at that point, you know, and we'd actually, these three games in hand would have looked as sort of a bonus, if you like, yeah, rather than a sort of a, it felt like there were a bit of a hindrance, you know, for a while. But in a way, I think after, you know, beating Middlesbrough, you sort of feel like, okay, we've got these games. We've got two of them in the next sort of, you know, before the World Cup to make up. We've got lots of home games. Let's build on this momentum. So I agree. I think, and I did it as well, I think a lot of fans, it was difficult to sort of be sensible in terms of, you know, how we were viewing things, because we were losing games. We threw away a 2-goal lead. And as you say, in isolation, if everything else was normal, you'd sort of just go, that was bitterly disappointing. And you'd be able to look at it and just go, look, it was a goalkeeper error, you know, swung the momentum. But when you've got that compounded by the morning of that game, games being postponed, it's hard to sort of look beyond the thing of everything on and off the pitch is not working, you know. But we've come through that. And the energy at the ground, I have to say, yesterday beforehand, having obviously the Saturday game, we'd obviously had the Preston home game, which was midweek, but that was a very weird vibe that evening. Whereas yesterday, I thought was absolutely superb. Dylan's Brewery was absolutely
great weather, wasn't it? Early on, like it was almost, you know, the stars aligned, like they say. It was great weather. It was round, wasn't it, for the early kickoff for the London Derby, and it was a really nice place to be.
It was, and they've made some really nice sort of upgrades, you know, to the brewery since last season. So if you know, pop down and you'll notice those. And again, just made it even better. So yeah, it was really buzzing, as you say. The weather was great, and you sort of just felt like, I just felt really positive. I don't know how you felt.
Yeah, felt very similar. And just one change, obviously the Palmer in for Hamer. Is that the lineup you'd have gone with on the day?
I think so. I wanted Palmer to start. I think, you know, we had this debate. I think Matt and Andy spoke about it last week, and you know, amongst us at Sky Blues Extra, we've discussed how, you know, Palmer, he's been playing minutes, and he's impressed, I think, when he's played, but he's not played enough, and you sort of wonder whether that's Robin's just trying to manage his workload so he doesn't get injured, et cetera, et cetera. But I thought after this international break, he's got to start. You know, we brought him in as a cam, and it was great to see him start. I thought he'd go with Sheaf and Allen. I didn't really know what other options there were. The team was exactly how I wanted it to be, and I thought great opportunity for Palmer, and he didn't disappoint. I thought he was absolutely brilliant, particularly, you know, first half or so. Real positive, and the lineup is how I thought it was going to be.
It could have been an incredible start for Palmer. 4 minutes in, lovely ball in from Dabo. Vic laid that then off to Palmer, whose shot just went wide, Ross, but a really good team move.
Great move. And we started the game incredibly well. I think we got a corner within the first 30, 40 seconds. And we sort of really started on the front foot, that's what we want to do. We want to get our crowd, you know, our incredible supporters sort of onside. And when we start fast, we do that. And it would have been brilliant for Palmer. You could tell from his reaction. Obviously, I sit behind the other goal, so I was behind it. And he sort of like sliced it, but you could see from his reaction, he knew. I think if he'd hit the target, it was a goal, you know. I thought he was going to score, so, but that would have been brilliant for him. But he was in the right place, and it was a great move. And Vic looked on it, didn't he, from minute one?
Yeah, he really did. Look, I mean, he just gives us a different dimension, doesn't he? And he was again at that brilliant best where we know what you're going to get with him. He holds up the ball, he'll turn players, he'll try and run at players. And it didn't take him long, did it, to get himself on the score sheet. A really good solo effort, really.
Oh, brilliant. I mean, obviously, we won the ball back from their throwing. Dabo played a really good ball down the channel, which is exactly where Vic set his, you know, powerful, sort of pacey best. And I felt incredibly confident. I don't know about you. As soon as he sort of went one-on-one, I thought... Because he looked on it, as we say, from minute one. I thought, yeah, he's going to score this. And lo and behold, he did. And it was great for us to take a golden chance like that. But it was also great for us to take the lead, which we didn't do very much last season. Even when we were winning games, we were always going behind. And that was the only thing I thought in my mind. I thought, if we take the lead in this, then we're going to do it. You know. And then we did. And it was brilliant for him to score against the team who, you know, were obviously admirers of him in the summer. And Chris Wilder came out after the game. I don't know if you saw his interview and basically...
He used to still be very fond of Mr. Gyökeres, doesn't he?
Yeah, certainly. But I mean, the way he's been played for us this season, 3 goals, could have had more. His price tag isn't, you know, it's not getting any cheaper. So, yeah, excellent from him. It was great. He just looks on it, doesn't he? He looks sort of refocused. You know, any of that sort of speculation that could have been potentially, you know, on his mind or distracting or whatever.
Yeah.
I thought Preston game, I thought he was quite poor by his standards. And that was the day before deadline day. So I sort of felt like maybe, you know, it wasn't much. He was only 5% off, but that extra 5% he gives you when he's on it, he absolutely tore their Middlesbrough's defenders to shreds, you know, gave them an absolute torrid time. And he's just relentless, isn't he? That's the thing. He just doesn't stop. He just goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. And if it hadn't been for a really sort of soft referee, he'd have had another 2 or 3 one-on-ones in the second half. But unfortunately, the ref decided there were fouls, which just boggled my mind. But, you know, that's a different point.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk every week about referees. Unfortunately, again, wasn't a great display yesterday. So inconsistent. You know, Vic was unlucky a lot of times to get either penalised or not get a foul, I thought. I actually missed the goal, sadly, because I was relieving myself of Amber Nectar, Ross. So I got to take a lesson. But what I would say is, does it frustrate you where Vic scores those ones that, you know, he had loads to do yesterday and it was a really confident finish. And once he got into that position, it was like he wasn't going to miss. And then there's some that you just feel that they're far easier and he should be putting them away.
100%. I think Vic is an incredibly instinctive striker. You know, the goal against Sunderland, the ones where he sort of is doing it all and he's not really got time to sort of overthink anything. He scores them. It's you know, Luton obviously scored, but he should have put us ahead. You know, he had one-on-one and he almost had too much time there.
Yeah.
And that was a different type of one-on-one to the one yesterday where he was sort of had that defender and he was running in from an angle and he had to control the ball. And, you know, the one against Luton, he felt like he had the freedom of their entire half and he sort of dragged it wide. And against Norwich, he had a one-on-one, didn't he, as well, or a really good chance. And the keeper saved it. So, you know, if he starts putting them away, he 100% will get 25 goals in the season. I have no doubt about that because it's probably
why Diaz scored goals, wasn't it? Because he was, chances like that were falling to him and he was putting them in as well as putting in goals that Vic does. You know, it's quite similar, I suppose, in style.
And yeah, that's what, you know, why Mitrovic scored so many goals.
Yeah.
You know, he you gave him a sniff and he took it. You know, he did a lot less. You know, he wouldn't score the goals Vic scores in terms of those, you know, picking it up and charging. You know, Mitrovic isn't that sort of player. So if Vic can just keep working, you know, he's young and he can just keep, you know, sort of finessing that finishing and refining that, I think he'll just get better and better. But yeah, when he's on song like that, he is, I think, a joke, you know, really. And he's a huge plus and it's much better that we've got him.
Ben Wilson kept the number one jersey, called into action on the half-hour mark. Solid hands behind Rodrigo Muniz's shot. What have you sort of made of Wilson in the last couple of starts? And do you think that's it? Do you think he can make the number one shirt for the rest of the season?
I think Robbins is an incredibly fair manager. I think, you know, he gave Simon more chances. We discussed it. Some people on Sky Blues Extra thought, you know, Moore should have been dropped straight away. He gave him chances. He, you know, on the third mistake, it was, okay, I'm going to make the change, you know, and I don't think Simon Moore could argue with that. You know, I think he seems like a very sensible guy. Ben Wilson, you know, he's had to be patient for his chance, but he's come in and he's kept 2 clean sheets back to back, made some very good saves in other games as well. I don't think he's been at fault for any of the goals particularly. And, you know, he was good for catches yesterday, came out. He looks focused. He looks like he's enjoying it and enjoying the responsibility. So long may that continue. And we all know Simon Moore was one of our best players last year.
Yeah.
And as you say, you don't become a bad team overnight. You don't become a bad goalkeeper overnight. But obviously he was just having a rough spell. But the fact that we've got a number two who, you know, has come in and he's, you can see he's laser focused, Wilson. And as long as he stays like that, you know, he's a good keeper. And I'm very happy with him to be number one. And it was a good, solid save. And actually, that was the thing. There was one in the second half, very similar to the one in the first half, but his positioning was so good, he basically sort of just caught it. It was just like, he made it look like it was straight at him. But, you know, if he'd been sort of slightly over to one side, it could have been, he might have been called into like a proper sort of acrobatic save. So I thought he did very well, Wilson. And long may that continue.
After the break, Borough had a couple of chances, but nothing of real significance. But did you feel it was a period where we were sort of sleepwalking into conceding, potentially?
Not as much as in the other games that I'd seen, to be honest. But that was the only way I felt like they were going to get back into it, was us just shooting ourselves in the foot.
Yeah.
That's what we did last season, and that's what really stopped us getting in the playoffs. We just shoot ourselves in the foot time and time again. That's what we've done this season, because as you quite rightly say, we'd have beat Millwall, you know, had we not, you know, Simon Moore hadn't, you know, shot ourselves in the foot. You know, we'd just gone 2-0 at half-time and won the game. Same against Sunderland. You know, we that was the only way Middlesbrough were going to do anything. But I just felt like we looked more focused as a unit. And I sort of felt more relaxed in our defenders than I did, say, against Preston. And maybe that was just because the whole atmosphere was quite anxious that evening. But no, I sort of felt pretty content, to be honest. There was a couple of those crosses, didn't they, which they flashed across the face of goal. And that's the other end to me. So I hate looking at those. It's just like chaos. You've probably got a better view of whether they're actually were close or not.
Well, you know, this is the thing. We do sometimes stand off. I've still got a few reservations over fitness of Dabo. I thought he was brilliant yesterday at times. I thought he played balls inside. He found Casey Palmer multiple times, didn't he? We talked about the cross for Vic, who laid off for Palmer, you know, very early on. But I thought Dabo played really well. And of course, it was his ball, wasn't it, I think, for Jokeres.
Yes.
So there was lots of things, but I feel sometimes defensively he still gets caught out, still doesn't seem to me like he tracks back the way he used to.
I agree with that. I agree. And you can see it happen in the game.
It just feels like he's sort of, and he looked yesterday that he was, you know, he was very tired at times.
And, you know, I think, yeah, I agree. I think particularly as the game went on, you just notice a couple of moments where you're thinking, I'm not sure he's, you know, tracking back maybe the same gusto as he does at the start of the game. Mm. But we've got Todd Kane back now. And then you know, it opens up that same question of, you know, substitutes and what we made two yesterday, didn't we, out of five. But he probably was happy. And I to be fair, I think he probably thought, well, you know what? Don't want to make a change and potentially just unsettle something. Because I didn't feel like Dabo was getting... I thought he did dealt with Ryan Giles quite well, to be fair. I agree with you. I think he was tiring, but I think at the same time, I sort of felt like he had Giles' number, you know, and he wasn't getting torn to shreds, you know. He played very well, Dabo, and it's good for him to get another assist. He got into some good positions. He felt like he was sort of, he looks more confident, you know, trying to take on the defender. I felt like there was times last year, maybe it's because of injury. I felt like he often wanted to sort of check back. He didn't believe in himself to get past the, his sort of counterpart on, on that side. Whereas I felt like yesterday, especially first half, he looks like he backs himself. It's like the Dabo of old. And that's great to see, because he has got the pace. He has got the strength, you know, and you want to see him do that more, because he can put in those wicked sort of low driven crosses, which either get to one of our players or they cause a bit of chaos and inevitably create a chance. So yeah, more of the same from Dabo. We all as fans, you know, love him, I think, you know, because he's been here several years, but we just wanted to see him back to where we know he can be. And obviously last year, the injuries probably hampered him, but no, it was a good game for him, I thought, yesterday.
Yeah. And on the other side of that, Bidwell, I mean, he's changed man, isn't he? He really has, I think, had a brilliant start to the season.
100%. The Preston game, there was only a couple of people I actually sort of trusted on that pitch. You know, again, probably overcome and sort of overwhelmed with sort of an anxiety of that game. But Bidwell, I sort of feel, again, yesterday, I sort of trust him defensively. I didn't feel he was ever going to make a mistake.
Defensively, I think. But he's sort of upped his game going forward now as well, right? Which is it's added even, you know, more to it, it feels like.
It's like he backs himself a bit more, you know, and it's,
I agree.
He's building up that relationship with Panzo on that side. I feel like there was, you know, if he just had that slight little extra bit of pace, you know, he probably wouldn't be with us, because I think defensively he's very, very sound. He's very strong. He's composed as well. He never looks flustered. Bidwell. Like, he always, I feel like he's always under control, or he knows what he's doing. So, you know, fair play to him. You know, he came in, got, you know, probably an unfair sort of stick, but you got to think he's had a full preseason now. You know, he looks in great shape, and yeah, long may that continue. And it'd be nice for him to sort of get a goal and a couple of assists, you know, in the next few games.
Back-to-back clean sheets. What have you made of the two loanies, Panzo and Callum?
So, obviously, Middlesbrough was the first time seeing Panzo in the flesh, sort of thing, because he didn't play against Preston, whereas Doyle sort of was brought in for that game. I thought Doyle was very, very good yesterday, playing on that right side. I had reservations about when he had to move there against Luton when Rose got injured. I was thinking, oof. But he's done very well, you know, to being part of a defence with two clean sheets. I thought Panzo looked a really quality player yesterday. He looks in phenomenal shape, you know, as an athlete. He seems to link up well with Bidwell. They were communicating. Fads, you know, controlling both of them was excellent as well. Yeah. But I think they filled me with a lot of confidence.
Wayward passes, I think, from Panzo. I think that's the only part of his game that perhaps he needs to, you know, there's times where he sometimes doesn't either get enough on the ball. I think there was one yesterday that was a bit of a hospital, and we sort of got away with it. Sometimes he doesn't find his man, but you've got to say defensively he's really strong, and he's also really confident at carrying the ball, isn't he? Which we need, because we haven't got that many players, you know, with Callum O'Hare's absence. Yes, Jamie Allen can carry the ball at times. Hamer can, but also switches it. But we also need that coming out of defence, don't we?
100%. And I think Callum Doyle does that as well. I actually think Doyle's passing, obviously, you can see sort of Man City upbringing, if you like.
Yeah.
He's very confident with his passing.
Drilled.
He probably doesn't win as many aerial duels, although I did think he did a lot better with that yesterday. Like Panzo seems, he's obviously a little bit taller, perhaps. But he's confident taking it forward. Like, you know, I remember he drove forward one point, Doyle, you know, and then looked like he was going to get a shot away. And yeah, they really filled me with confidence, both at that pair, actually. And I suddenly thought, actually, you know what? They seem really committed, focused players. And I sort of felt a lot better, you know, yesterday. I felt like I was against Preston. Maybe it's because we just obviously had hardly played any games. We looked like a team of people who had never played with each other before. But yesterday at Middlesbrough, I thought we looked like a team. You know, I could see the team of last season. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Yeah. With just slightly different personnel. And I thought that encourages me, because I know for a fact, we all know that the Coventry City from last season, yeah, we were 12th, but we should have been top 10 minimum. You know, we were a very good side. So, and there's not that many changes, do you know what I mean, to that team. So, yeah, I thought they did a great job, and a huge, huge praise to Panzo and Doyle. I thought they had excellent games.
Yeah, brilliant. 75th minute, we had a glorious chance. Casey Palmer, Jokeres was away again. Ball was played over the top. Keeper rushed out, but only found the Coventry midfielder, who shot from 40 yards, ended up, again, just wide of the target. Probably should have done better here, but good performance from Palmer, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I actually live missed that chance. I was just heading back and I heard everyone shout, shoot, and I sort of waited in bated breath to see whether there would be a big cheer at the end of it, which alas there wasn't. But watching it back on the highlights, I feel like he could have maybe took an extra touch, you know.
Didn't he, on his interview, the crowd shoot, it kind of made him feel like he didn't have as much time,
rushed it maybe. But like you say, he could have had two goals. I mean, that would have been, you know, superb. But really encouraging performance. You know, I think there were some unfair sort of assumptions from people, you know, again thinking, oh, if we signed another Hilsner or another Castellini, you know, someone who's just never going to play. But I never felt like that, because Robbins was playing him. You know, he was getting minutes, not as many as I was hoping he would. But whenever he was coming on, you could see there's a player there. And I thought yesterday, he sees the pictures. You know, he can do one touch passing. He's a unit. A tall guy.
I was going to say, that's the thing for me. He's strong and he uses it. And that's something I don't think we've ever had in that role, really. Don't get me wrong, we've always had Allen and O'Hare, and they hassle and they hurry and they nick the ball here and there, but we've not always had that physical presence, I don't think, in behind the strikers.
No,
I think he really gives us that. He's very quick as well, you know.
He's got a good turn of pace.
Yeah.
And what the other thing I like about him, and he does it in the right way, you know, he does not afraid to sort of square up, do you know what I mean, to their players. You know, he doesn't let the game just... He's involved, he's committed, you know. And like I say, you as a fan, you like that. There was a moment, you know, in the game where you could see him, and that, you know, he was right up in the face of Middlesbrough player, and he gives us that height, because we've not, you know, O'Hare's, you know, a lot shorter, so he, you know, he can carry the ball, wins a lot of fouls, but that sort of power, you know, of someone who can almost, I feel like Palmer can hold off players because he, you know, he's a lot, you know, taller. And yeah, he just sees the pictures. You know, there were so many times he played these little passes and you thought, he's spotting these runs. And I don't think Alan does the same when he's in that cam position. You know, you can see that is Palmer's position. You can see his ability is there. He looks fit. He looks sharp. And it's exciting that O'Hare's, you know, going to be back just around the corner. And we're seeing a player in Palmer that you go, you know what, we've signed him and he's not a dud. You know, he looks like a really good player. I saw him in pre-season and saw really positive signs, but then to see it, you know, in the championship, in the league, was great. And yeah, the soon, you know, let's hope he can score against his former team on Tuesday. And I'm sure he'll get another appearance then.
Yeah. And we had one last chance, didn't we? Vic had a shot that was deflected. Foul Eccles was overlapping and probably was a better option, but Yock sort of twist and turned and got a shot away, but it was just deflected wide.
Yeah, that's probably the only other thing I'd say with Vic sometimes. You know, he sort of tunnel vision, and that sort of attribute is what allows him to score some of the goals he does.
Well, that was, you know, interesting. I was going to say that. Do you think that when he joined us on a full contract, if you like, it's almost given confidence. Like, you can think that he was always didn't have... He had minutes with Swansea and had to do something. There was almost a lot of pressure, I guess, as being a loanee. And we kind of, after we signed him, I know he was on loan originally. But do you feel like that's given him a bit like, no, actually, I am kind of worthy almost? Do you know what I mean? It's like giving him an inner confidence to be able to take these sort of shots on.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, his performances last year and his goals would have done that. And yeah, I agree. I think he sees himself. He's, you know, I mean, man, if you like, star striker, but arguably the best striker in the league. And he's getting big minutes at Sweden, you know, internationally as well. So you think he just looked on it. And like you say, that was my end, and Eccles probably was the right option. But again, who am I to turn around? And, you know, it actually wasn't far away when, you know, he obviously took a deflection, but it could have crept in. But he deserved another goal, really. I mean, he absolutely gave Dale Fry an absolutely torrid time. And he could have got us a penalty as well. I don't know how the ref never thought that was a foul. But yeah, Vic was fantastic, and he's only getting better and better. He looks sort of, yeah, just so on it, doesn't he? So sharp, so focused. And yeah, it would have been great to have got a second goal, but hey, we got the clean sheet, got the 3 points, and that's all that matters.
Absolutely. And man of the match then, Ross, for you, who was the key man?
For me, man of the match, I'm going to go with Vic, because I think it was the difference. You know, they looked quite toothless up front, yeah. I thought.
Certainly give them something to think about all afternoon, didn't he?
I sent this to a few friends. I just said, when he plays like that, I think he really is unplayable. You know, like, he just never, as a fan of an opposition side, you wouldn't be able to rest. You know, like, there's some strikers we play and you sort of go, I feel like we're sort of dealing with him. Whereas
Birmingham, you just, there was no threat there, was there? You could feel very comfortable that day.
And obviously, that, you know, Vic wasn't always coming out on top, but even when their defender was, say, coming away with it, as a fan, you'd be thinking, oh, crikey, you know, we only just got away with that, you know. So he's always on their toes. And yeah, for me, he was man of the match. He got the goal. It was the winning strike, and to get our first 3 points of the season. And it's just all round game. When he just gets it and just runs and is relentless, you just think he's just brilliant to watch. And you know, he's a big fan's favourite, obviously. And yeah, hopefully more goals to come.
Absolutely. There was a lot of positive performances yesterday. I don't think there was a man on the park that didn't do a really good job. But I'd have to agree with you, Vic, for the man match. I thought he was, like you say, he was the difference. And, you know, let's hope that can keep going. It was a brilliant performance, and one of Wilder saying that he is the best in the league.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
The Sky Blues then will travel to Bristol City on Tuesday night. There's around 950 tickets sold already, and the squad are really going to be up for this one, Ross.
Although, yeah, they will be. And I think Mark Robbins said that in his interview, that the players are just excited to play these games. And I think getting that win, it's liftoff. You know, there's always that sort of, you know, thing hanging over you, you know, if you haven't won a game. But now we've got our first win, we can forget about it and just move on and back ourselves as we should. And if we play like that, and we're only going to get better, there's no reason why we can't go there and get, you know, get a win. But I'm looking forward to it. I know Tom Ward is. He's got his tickets, hasn't he? So the players should be buzzing. I think just if anyone hasn't listened to Robbins's post-match thing, it was just, it made me feel so like happy and cleansed to hear him like that. You know, he did sound
because
fed up.
You know, that's what's in the changing room.
And yeah, 100%. And you know, he loves the club. And yeah, and obviously he's like us. And when he was fed up, I was fed up. But obviously then when you hear your manager fed up, you're like, oh no, I don't want that. And it just compounds everything. But to hear him, go back and listen to it, everyone. And everything he praises, you know, he says how the pitch was in great nick. He talks about all the players, everything's positive. He sort of goes, he literally says everything that we're saying, you know, he actually looks back at the previous games.
Kelly's, like, you know, looking better.
O'Hare, but he looks back at the previous games like you did, Dave, at the start, and you said at the time, it's hard to look at those games with maybe that many positives because of everything going on. But even he, after Middlesbrough, talks about Sunderland, talks about all these games, and he can see them from a footballing point of view without the added circus of the pitch and games being postponed. And yeah, it's a great listen, and it made me just go, yeah, we're going to be absolutely fine this year. That's exactly
it. I think it was his most
felt.
Positive, or most, you know, I would say happiest interview for a long, from as long as I can remember.
Agreed.
I can't remember one being that positive.
It was really good.
Fantastic. And it just goes to show that we've got to take that now and take that forward into these games. Do you expect Mark Robbins to name an unchanged side on Tuesday evening?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I think...
Because a lot of talked about this away from home, one up front, with a potential box, but we've not really got the players to fit that in, have we?
Not at the moment. I think he almost hinted to the fact that when O'Hare's back, I think you could easily see a situation where you've got Palmer and O'Hare behind Jokeres. I think there could be one change. I'd sort of be surprised because of the quick turnaround and then the following, you know, knowing we've got a game after. I'd be a bit surprised if he went unchanged. I'd be happy with unchanged, of course. But I feel like he could play someone else instead of Godden. I've just got a feeling. I don't know what makes me think that, but I feel like...
Quite possibly. So he came out in his interview, didn't he? And he said that Walker had trained absolutely phenomenally. He said he was amazing in training and tactically he couldn't get him in, is what he said about Walker this weekend. So Godden, you know, had a bit of a quiet game, didn't he? You know, Godden's always there as a chance. I think if he gets a chance, he'll put it away. But yeah, it was interesting. Yeah, I think, you know, you've got a fair point there. He does want to rotate the team. He does want everyone to be up to pace. And like you say, maybe it could be something like that. But what were you thinking? Who are you thinking may?
I wondered about. I agree. I think potentially Walker. I think. I wouldn't, it's not necessarily what I'd do, but I wouldn't be surprised if he brought Waghorn in to start up front with Jokeres. And the reason I said, Godden, absolutely love Matt Godden. And I think he does, when he's up with Vic, when those two are the strike partnership, you very rarely have a situation where they both say, score. Do you know what I mean? Like one's almost the way we play has got to be the foil. So that tends to be the person, you know, Godden in this situation. Now, obviously, if he still gets a chance and it falls to him, you back him to score. But obviously, when he doesn't score, he works incredibly hard, he puts himself about, but he possibly doesn't necessarily impact the game the same way, you know, because he's a goal scorer. He's the best finisher we've got at the club. I remember Waghorn last year, before he got in at COVID, he only scored one goal, you know, but he was involved in Vic. That was when Vic had that incredible purple patch and they seemed to have a really good relationship. So I just wonder, and one thing Matty Godden said at the Q&A was as much as he wants to play every game, he's going to be managed. And I just wonder whether, because we've got this Tuesday game and he might want him to start against Burnley, I wonder whether Tyler Walker or Waghorn could come in on for Tuesday. Yeah, I'm not sure if there's any other changes I see, because we haven't really got any other options. I'm not sure he's going to want to start Eccles instead of Allen. I think Allen's got that fitness. I think Palmer needs, you know, to build on that performance. So I think the only one I can see is maybe Godden switching out. And we haven't got the personnel yet to be able to play the box. So I think he will go two up top.
And just give us a bit of a rundown on Bristol City. What are we expecting from them? What do we know about them so far? Is there players that we should be worried about?
Well, I mean, Bristol are one of those sides, you know, obviously still with Nigel Pearson. And I mean, they've lost three in a row. Most recently QPR, but before that they've played Norwich and Burnley, which are obviously two difficult fixtures. Prior to that, though, they'd won three in a row and they'd had some, you know, big wins. So they're going to be tough opposition. They've scored goals. I think they made some good signings in the summer at home. I think they, obviously last year it was famous that their home form hadn't won in X amount of games, but their home form has been a lot better. They'll want to bounce back from losing at home to QPR. But they've got threats up front. Obviously, we played them, you know, with our second string at Burton and, you know, during that farcical period. So we can't take anything from that. But in terms of their, you know, Naki Wells, he's a goal scorer at this level. I think he's a bit like Matty Godden, I think. Do you know what I mean? Like, you give him a chance, he'll score it. But you can potentially not mark him out the game, but you can feel like he's not involved. But then when he gets a chance, he suddenly bursts into life. So he's got six goals this season. Conway as well, five goals. You know, he sort of had a real impact on the start. And then you got Vyman, who sort of has been playing in that sort of cam role. They sort of set up with a similar system to us, if you like, a 5-2-1-2. Yeah. So, you know, and then Semenyo, he's a player who he has his injury problems, but he's one of those sort of big, powerful players, you know, can run, hold players off and drive through the heart of opposition defences. So we've got to be careful of him. And they've got, their wing backs are good as well, Sykes and De Silva. So they've got good players. It's going to be a tough game, but we went there last year and won with that sort of late goal by Vic, which was excellent. And let's do it again. And yeah, they're going to be a dangerous side, as all games are, but we've got to believe that. I think the belief's there now. You can see it, you know, that we weren't taking as many chances. We did the odd time, but we were sensible. Like, when we just needed to clear it, we did. You know, we didn't try and that often put ourselves, invite pressure on. So I think if we're sensible and defend well, we give ourselves every opportunity. And if Vic plays like he did, then again, we've got every opportunity to score some goals.
Let me take a prediction then, Ross.
I never like saying I'd take a point. This is not necessarily what I want. I could see a 1-1. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a tough game. I think they're going to want to bounce back from Saturday. I think they'd be disappointed to have, you know, got beat by QPR. I think it's going to be a tough game. I could just see them running out 2-1 winners. But let's hope that, you know, it's not that I'm not buoyed by a brilliant performance this weekend. I just think that they've, like you say, they've played Norwich and Burnley. It's not like, you know, it seems like they would be getting back to winning ways. So who knows? We've got to go up there and we've got to give it a good go. And like you say, with Vic as a spearhead, we've always got a chance, haven't we?
100%. Completely agree.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
With the games coming thick and fast, next up will be recently relegated Premiership side Burnley at the CBS on Saturday. Without Gus Hamer still through his suspension, probably too soon for Callum O'Hare, but maybe Kelly could be back in the fold, Ross.
Well, I sort of feel like, I don't know, sort of reading very into poorly Robin's comments, you know, pre-game, pre-Middlesbrough, and he's often quite coy. I feel like Kelly could actually potentially be on the bench on Tuesday. I've a little hunch. But certainly if he isn't, then I think he will certainly be in the squad against Burnley. I think I'd love Callum O'Hare to be. Do you know what I mean? From the whole story line. The script's written, isn't it? You know, for him to be on the bench, come on for a few minutes and score the winner or something, you know, and celebrate in front of their fans or something. So it'd be great. It probably in reality is probably too soon, but it wouldn't surprise me. I wouldn't be like absolutely jaw on the floor, gobsmacked, you know, because Robbins keeps saying, you know, he's not far. And you just wonder whether he'd go, you know what, we'll put him on the bench. You know, he might not need to come on, but I think it would give everyone such a boost, wouldn't it, in the ground, knowing that he is on the bench. But Liam Kelly, I think he will be huge when he can get back. And if he can just stay fit, you know, we know how good Liam Kelly is when he's sharp on it. He offers, yeah, him and Ben Sheaf work so well together. You know, when we beat Fulham last year, they provide that real good shield in front of the back three. And I think that would be great for the two young lads that we've got in the central of defence as well. So, yeah, let's hope. I think Liam Kelly adds that extra bit of depth, doesn't he? Gives us those options.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And Burnley, obviously, of course, are going to want to be trying to get back to the top tier of English football, you know, first chance or first time of asking. Burnley, what, you know, obviously, I know they had a bit of an odd start, didn't they? But how have they looked so far this season, and who have we really got to be worried about?
Well, I think obviously this season they've only lost one game in the league, and that was away at Watford in the third game of the season, I believe. So they're unbeaten in the last eight. Only three wins of that, though, five draws. The last three away games will be one-all draws, including Saturday. They were pegged back by a 90th minute Cardiff City equaliser. But they're a possession-based team. Obviously, Vincent Kompany is trying to sort of imprint his sort of philosophy on the team. And I remember watching the opening game of the season, and they dominated possession against Huddersfield, and they deserve to win that game. Ian Mattson, of course, familiar face, will be returning. He's had a couple of assists, a couple of goals as well. So he's been involved, and he's certainly bombing forward in the system. They play a back four. Cullen in midfield, he seems, and Jack Cork, again, another familiar face. Yeah. Those two dictate play. But they're dangerous players. You've got Jay Rodriguez, who's a quality striker. He's got five goals already this season. And then one of the new signings, Teller, who potentially was the signing sort of replace when they couldn't get O'Hare. He's got four goals. He's made a good start for them. And Brownhill, one of their players, you know, he was with them last year in the Premier League, but he's a quality player. He's got four goals as well. So there is goals around the pitch. Yeah. As we said, Mattson's got a couple. So they're going to be, they've got threats all over. And obviously they've got, you know, they had a big turnover of players, but they certainly have brought in, you know, some quality. And, you know, they've got players like, you know, Scott Twine, you know, who tore it up in League One. And, you know, he's not necessarily always playing. So they've got depth, they've got options off the bench and beyond. So it's going to be a tough, tough game. It's the first time we've played them in quite a while, isn't it? So especially absolutely, if we can get a nice result on Tuesday, it will be a bumper crowd, you'd like to imagine. And hopefully, you know, another opportunity for us to sort of, you know, take a scalp. You know, we did it against Fulham. We did it to Sheffield United last year. We did it Fulham home and away. So there's nothing to be scared of. We know we're capable. On our day, we can beat any of these sides. So bring it on.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like sometimes we play against, you know, like you say, a possession-based team. Kompany will get them playing the right way. I'm sure there are very different outfits of what they used to play like in the Premiership under Sean Dyche. And we play well against teams like that because they come to play football. They don't come to spoil. They're going to come and try and win. They're not probably going to come away and try and get a point, for example. And even though, like you say, they've drawn a lot of their last away fixtures, they're going to be wanting to win this one. And especially given our league position on you know, they're going to want to. So teams like that come and play, I feel like sometimes those are the games that we actually do get a chance to open teams up, and that's why I think we played so well against Fulham.
I completely agree, and I actually think I feel more confident, you know, when a team's coming who are going to, you know, back themselves to win, they're going to try and take the game to us, because we're a good counter-attacking side, you know, and we play through the lines, and when we can fight fire with fire.
I was exposed, haven't they, at the back with Vic. He's shown that he's more than capable, comfortable to take on, you know, if it's 2v1 or whatever, in Burnley's favour, he'd still be there.
He occupies defenders. He almost forces them to have to double up, and that opens up space for Palmer, O'Hare, those sort of players pushing on the midfield, the wing backs as well. So, like, I feel a lot, it teams like sort of, you know, Preston and that, and Stoke, who, you know, although we beat Stoke last year, but Preston and teams like that who come and all their aim is to frustrate. That's when I always think we're just going to get, we get really unstuck.
We've got a game plan, do we?
We get unstuck.
We try and prod and prod, because we do, I think, you know, we started to shoot from outside the box, but we do try to play it in internet, which I'm not, you know, I don't want to sit here and say I don't like that. I love the football that we're able to watch each week. I would hate to go and watch a team, perhaps like Birmingham, who I, you know, it's not the way football that I'd want to see every week.
Well, Preston with like they drew 0-0 again. That was eight games with no goals. I mean, it's not particularly sort of riveting and exciting. But we always come unstuck against those sides, always. And I think it's because we maybe try and force it. Whereas actually when we're playing another side who are open, we find those spaces. And if we're on it, Ben Sheaf, obviously Hamer won't be back, but you know, Allen and Palmer and Kelly and the wing backs Dabo, we can cause trouble, and it could be a really exciting game. Actually, I think it could be proper end to end. It could, you know, it's the sort of game that you could end up losing 3-0 but have as many chances as they did, or end up winning 3-0, you know, or it being like a 3-0 draw. It could literally, I think there's goals in this game, for sure, and obviously hopefully in our favour.
A tough one to predict. Obviously we're not sure what's going to happen on Tuesday night, but if I had to press you for a final score on Saturday against Burnley, what would you be going for?
It's going to be a tough game. It is going to be a tough game. I think I want to say Stoke, could be wrong, midweek. They've only lost one game. Can we do it? I mean, I want to be positive, but it is going to be tough. I sort of feel like we, as much as I'd love us to be like, go 1-0, you know, O'Hare, come on and score or something, I could see us losing 2-1. Potentially, I might go 2-1 Burnley. I think, but that sounds negative, you know, after a win.
Well, it, you know, they are a recently relegated team from the Premiership. They have obviously, you know, hit the ground running, and it is going to be a very, very difficult thing. I feel like we can get a draw, but I think I agree with goals. I think there will be goals, and I would be looking at a 2-2 draw, I think. Well, that's. Brings us to the end of this week's episode. Ross, thank you ever so much for joining this evening.
Thank you very much. No, it was a pleasure to do the first one after our first 3 points, so hopefully the first of many. And we'll be having similar conversations next week.
And listeners, with football now back firmly at the CBS on both weekdays and weekends, don't forget that the Sky Blue Tavern and Dillon's Brewery place host to the best pre- and post-match entertainment with a wide range of food and drink options. And don't forget there's also the option of the shuttle bus that will take you from Dillon's to Tavern after the game, or in fact before kickoff. As always, if you want to get involved with anything that we've talked about in this evening's podcast, or anything just in general on Twitter, make sure you do use the hashtag SBE podcast.
Is Sky Blues Extra.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.